Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today I'm here with Evan Scharf. He is the founder and CEO at Cedar Rock Advisory Group and can be found at cedarrockadvisory.com. So welcome to the show, Evan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, so we are going to start out with a different question today. So if you could wake up tomorrow with any superpower, business aside, what would you pick and how would you use it?
Great question. The first thing that comes to mind is spending enough time with each one of my kids and them appreciating the time that I do spend with them. So thank God we have six boys, play basketball, pickleball, pool, whatever it is. But having a lot of time to spend with them and then appreciating would probably be that superpower.
The appreciation part for sure. Who's the pickleball player? Ken and I always like to play that one.
We got, again, out of six, I do numbers. I would say one in four are the pickleball players.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. And you do have numbers. You like numbers. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
Okay. So basically, Cedar Rock Advisory, I'm a CPA by trade. I started this business about 15 years ago. Initially, I started my career at Deloitte in financial services. And about 15, 16 years ago, I started this business where we primarily provide accounting services, bookkeeping, controller, fractional CFO work to different sized businesses in different industries. We work with a lot of accounting firms, for example, who want to do the audit, the tax, the advisory work, and they realize that some of their clients may not have the right internal staffing. We're not a staffing company. We really get into the guts of the company, and we have clients that have been with us for well over 10, 12 years.
Perfect. And so you started Cedar Rock after identifying a key gap between traditional tax firms and business owners' true needs. And so what specific blind spot did you see that ultimately drove you to build this business?
Well, sometimes you just need to like listen to people. And what I've learned over time is everybody sits in a different seat. And by talking to them, you could sort of get into a little bit of the challenges that they have. So speaking to friends of mine, people in the neighborhood, CPAs that I know, I started realizing that there's this like lose-lose proposition. CPA firms are doing things that they don't want to do, nor should they be doing. Yet they have to charge a certain amount of money, or they can't charge a client. So they're losing because human capital and time is very precious, and they're wasting it on things that they shouldn't be doing. And the clients are not getting what they need. And they may be overpaying for that. And we sort of bridge that gap because we can speak both languages. And our goal, like I tell us all the time to prospects or whoever we're talking to, we have two clients on every engagement. It's the end user client, and it's also the CPA firm. Mm-hmm. We have to satisfy both their needs.
Yeah. And so when you're talking about these gaps, in your experience, what capability do most owners drastically underinvest in, but they should be investing in first?
In terms of their own internal departments or in terms of the business as a whole?
Maybe in terms of just their businesses as a whole, but you know, you talk about filling these capability gaps for entrepreneurs.
Oh, I'll give you a perfect example. One of the things that we go when we come to a company, we're not a reactive company, we're proactive, right? So I speak in extremes just to bring out the point, not that this is an actual scenario, but a lot of times, and I think this resonates with a lot of people, a lot of times people get paid, employees get paid to show up and not to produce. Okay. So we sort of take that out. We understand what's the AR cycle, the AP cycle, what's the month end close look like, who's doing what, A triggers B, triggers C, triggers D. And I think it's called Parkinson's Law, where a problem will only be as take as enough time to finish as the amount of time that you give it. So when someone has 3 hours to do a job, they're going to take 3 hours to do it. We look for the efficient ways. So we'll go into an engagement, we'll talk to the client, and we'll say, hey, we want to understand your process. And inevitably, that's how essentially we make money, by putting efficiencies in that process and not saying, oh, this is how we did it last year. We're not looking, to be clear, to just change the operational workflow of the business. Operations, that's the lifeblood of the business. From an accounting perspective, because at the end of the day, what we do, we're financial storytellers. We tell you what happened, what is happening, what may happen, and that only is driven by data. Timely data, good data, that the business owner himself can feel
Accurate
comfortable,
data,
and
right?
accurate,
Accurate
complete
data.
data. I could do a ton bunch of other adjectives, but at the end of the day, the business owner, whoever's making those executive decisions, has to feel comfortable and confident that they are empowered to make the decisions that they need to make for the business going forward.
Gotcha. And so who's your ideal client?
Appreciation is a big word here. We've learned over time, we vet our clients just like they vet us. And just like when we hire somebody, they're interviewing us as much as we're interviewing them. Our ideal clients are, we play in a couple of different industries. We're very heavily focused. I'd say 25% of our clients are nonprofit, another 25% e-commerce. We have real estate, we have food and beverage, we have service companies, law firms, et cetera. The common theme throughout all of them that we enjoy working with is that they're interested in growing. And I'm not only talking about a revenue perspective, but they're interested in understanding. And part of what we do is education and explaining why we're doing that. We want our clients to understand why we're doing what we're doing and how it benefits them. Sometimes we'll get on a call and a client will say, what issue are you trying to solve? And they'll say, problem A. And then as we get into it, I'm like, do you ever think about B or C? And like, no, actually, I'd like to learn more about that. So then what that allows is that allows trust, that allows collaboration, that allows the feeling that we're partnering with our clients on their journey to manage and to grow their business. So that's the profile that we look for.
And correct me if I'm wrong. So I've interviewed of CEOs on this podcast, and I feel like the finance side is very similar to how CEOs feel about marketing. They know they should know more than they do about it, but they don't. And a lot of the reason why is a good bit of these folks are they're accidental entrepreneurs. They had a great idea, they fell into a business, and they weren't really taught the finance side, how to look, how to project, do predictions and forecast a lot of the things that like true visionaries that are into the finance side. So this is kind of a gap that probably you help fill because there is the education piece, which everybody listening to this podcast is here to learn, right? And that's what we talk about. But it's okay not to know these things. Because you jumped into something and there's specialists like you, there's marketing specialists, like marketers that are there to help them get to those different phases. So is that where that fractional CFO part kind of comes into play for you?
Right. I would present it a little bit differently. I would say 2 points to that. Marketing and sales and business development is not as quantifiable in terms of like what things mean. Sometimes, not that people need to do this, sometimes they'll throw this marketing campaign or that marketing campaign. It's not as quantifiable, it's not as tangible. On the finance and accounting side, there are numbers. Numbers tell that story. Everything trickles down at some point to a number. Productivity, profitability, cash flow, you name it, right? It all, so there's no ambiguity, but there is a way in order to communicate what those numbers mean. Two people could look at the same set of numbers and not see the same thing. So as a business owner, you're right, you're not an accounting professional, you're not a finance professional, you don't need to be that. You just need, what we do is we paint a scenario for our clients and say, what do you want to do in scenario A, B, or C? So we don't, I often give the example of, we're like the soda machine. You don't have to know how the soda machine works. You just have to put the money in, make sure you put the money in, right? And then you'll get your cold soda can. Okay. So they don't really have to, we want them to know more and more about it, but as long as they get the key KPIs, the key performance indicators that they need to run their business, we could always use it as a springboard for more information. But I don't think it's so akin to, let's say, a marketing situation.
I was just more saying that it's an unknown, it's a department that is unknown to a lot of
Okay,
people. They
that's
don't
fair.
focus
But
on it,
I will say one very important thing. There is a book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called Who Not How.
Yes.
Okay, you're smiling. You obviously read
Well,
it.
it's one we talk about
Okay,
religiously here at GC.
religiously. So when I read it, I'm like, oh my God, this is me. I love it. It's Who Not How. Like, that's a really, really key thing for business owners. If you haven't read it yet, not that, I mean, plug for the book, but it's essential to running a business.
Perfect, perfect.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So, what are some of the key things that are impacting your industry right now? They could be positive or negative. And you can't say AI.
Oh, okay, fine. I mean, AI is usually like top of mind. I mean, but
I
I'm
know,
not going to talk
I
about that, especially in our industry. But I will tell you, people buy from people,
know.
and people want to are craving that relationship with somebody that understands them. So one very positive thing that we've seen over time is the, I would say, the requirement and the necessity for good communication. People, we live in a very fast-paced world, and sometimes people don't take the time to articulate properly whatever situation they're trying to present. Communication skills are sometimes underrated. People throw things into ChatGPT and make this sound better, but it's inauthentic. And I think one of the challenges of the accounting field in general is people are not coming into it as often as much as they did. Like, there's a really tight squeeze in terms of talent. I speak to hundreds of partners in the top 40 firms across the country, and a lot of the conversation is the same. It's the same in the sense that they're all struggling with the same issues, and one of them is not having the right staff or people going into the field. So that's definitely a challenge.
Why do you think that is?
I think there are things that are more glamorous, quote unquote. I think I'm not going to say AI is something that people may be concerned about, but again, they look at finance, they look at, again, society has changed so much from a social media perspective that everybody thinks that everybody else is doing great. And accounting doesn't sound so cool, maybe. I don't know. Not that
Spreadsheets
it,
are sexy.
Again, things are evolving. Like, you really get to see, like, people that work at, like, they really enjoy seeing different types of businesses and different challenges and helping people solve those, what those challenges look like. That's what I would say.
Yeah. And so, how do you ensure that your company stays relevant in like a such a rapidly changing market? And I was just saying, we can talk about AI. I was just saying, you can't make that the one thing that's
It's
influencing
not.
your industry because it's influencing every industry,
It
right?
is influencing everything.
But
Yeah.
how do you ensure that you stay relevant? Because the market moves so fast, and the companies you're going after, they're moving so quickly. So how do you get in front of them? How do you stay relevant?
So I think that there are two important points. Number one, people shouldn't lose sight of what they do, what they're good at, and what they need. Like, they're still going to be the core things that people need. People are still going to need projections. They're still going to need to put budgets together. They're still going to need to understand how they did last month and last quarter. And they're still going to have to make sure that the wheels are turning and the factory lights are on or whatever is going on. So yes, there's going to be a lot of noise outside, but at the end of the day, you still have to run your business and you know your business better than anybody else because it's your business. So I don't think people can lose sight of that. And I think more and more people do. Everybody's looking up for the, you know, the nice shiny object, and this is going to, you know, Amazon going to start doing robots instead of people. And that means the manufacturing jobs. I mean, it's keep your eye on the ball. People still need what you do. Otherwise you wouldn't be in business, and really double down on that.
Right.
Now, in terms of like how we stay ahead of it, it's like I started when I said what I stated earlier. You have to listen to people. You have to try to get in their shoes. Mm-hmm. And when you hear from people what they want, what they're looking for, what they hope to achieve, well, that's sort of the barometer that we use to say, okay, where do we need to go? Because you're right. It is a fast changing environment. Everybody's coming up with the next new thing. But I think if you just hear what people have to say, it really helps us plan for the future.
Right, right. Great. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about your company in general. So how many employees do you have?
Right now we have about 27, 28 employees.
Okay, big. So what strategies are you using to build strong and effective teams with that many employees?
Okay, that's a great question. When I started this business,
I love my questions.
One of our employees has been with us since the beginning. And when we find good people, and the bar for us hiring people is much higher than a regular company hiring somebody, we're very slow to hire, but people stick with us for years and years and years because I try to make it, and I do make it a very conducive and positive place to work. The culture here is very mature. I'm not a babysitter. Nobody here is a babysitter. There's a lot of delegation, but in a trusting way. So one of the things I tell people when we hire them is I trust you to succeed and I trust you to fail. Mm-hmm. And what that means is I'm obviously hiring you because I think you're going to be successful here, but I also trust you to fail. No one's perfect. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody's going to. I don't want you to come in here and walk on a tightrope. But what do? Do you learn from those mistakes? Does it make you a better person? Does it make you a better employee? Does it allow you to do your job better? And I'm going to give you that flexibility and that, you know, to prove yourself, but also treat you like that adult. And what that does is it gives the person a higher self-esteem. Evan trusts me. My senior people trust me. That's one aspect of it. Not that there's no checks and balances. There are, but it's just the attitude. The second thing is, you know, we use systems on the back end to make sure that everybody communicates with each other. Everybody knows what needs to happen that day, that week, that month, that quarter. So we're very buttoned up procedurally in how things are tracked internally. We use a lot of analytics also to see how long things should be taking, what type of projects we're working on, what our internal budgets are to work with our clients, et cetera. But a lot of it is the culture of the company.
And culture is the number one thing that is important to scaling a business. You mentioned that you're powered by EOS. And so how do you integrate the financial services into an EOS-driven business in a way that actually helps support that culture and performance, not just numbers?
So number one, we understand the lingo.
Yeah.
which is used. We understand what a visionary is. We understand what the different seats are. We understand what an integrator is. And automatically, when you start talking to somebody about EOS, I still have my chart in the back on my whiteboard. I don't know if you can see.
Nice.
it gives a certain level of comfort that there's this journey that the company is going on, and they really need to figure out their accountability chart, their VTO. You know, it's helped us tremendously internally. And I was a little bit suspect of it initially, and the team really wanted to do it. And we wouldn't have been able to make, like, we had some not such great hires over a certain period of time. What it allowed us to do is it really allowed us to hire better people and the right people and more successful. And we've also been a little bit more selective in the types of clients that we're taking because of that. So it's definitely helped us. Now, in terms of like an EOS type company or a company that runs on EOS, sometimes we may sit in the finance seat. Sometimes we support the one in the finance seat. Okay. And, you know, being on the finance seat is, it's very taxing. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort. And sometimes they have somebody in-house that does that, and that's totally fine. In many cases, we support that person as well. So that's how we deal with EOS.
So as the leader of your company and as the visionary, since you know the lingo, how important do you feel it is to be open to feedback as a leader?
It's essential. It keeps you humble. It empowers people. We're very collaborative here.
Mm-hmm.
At every stage of, at every level within the company, there's no ivory tower. There's no one that you can't reach out to. We encourage feedback. And you encourage feedback by genuinely appreciating things that come up, or you, myself, initiating a conversation with somebody to sort of hear, I really am interested in your opinion. What do you think we should do in this scenario, A or B? And bringing people into the conversation makes them feel genuinely so that their opinion matters. We may not go with it at the end. Sometimes I'm outvoted. And sometimes I have to make a decision anyway, even though people are not so fond of it. But it's definitely something that if people feel that their voices are heard, whether or not you go along with it or not, it's empowering to people because we trust them, and we really do trust them. I don't feel that I know everything in the company.
Right.
I don't think anybody here feels that they know everything about what they need to do.
Mothers think they know everything. I'm kidding. all right. Just a few more questions, then we'll wrap up here. What has been the most difficult part of your CEO journey, and how have you handled it?
I know some people have the problem of letting go of doing certain activities that they feel that they can do.
Yeah.
I didn't have that problem. I didn't have that problem because at the outset, I decided this is what I need to do. Mm. And I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm not good at. But there's always a push and a pull, right? We have to manage staffing. We have to manage clients. We have to manage a sales channel. And sometimes it's busier. Sometimes it's less. We want to go in a certain direction. We have certain goals that we want to meet. And you could get discouraged, you know, every few weeks. And it's just about, I have to remind myself about looking at the big picture, what we've built so far, how we continuously grow year over year. So obviously we're doing something right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to like take a step back and remind yourself like, wow, we've really made a lot of progress. And, yeah, you know, celebrating the wins is, you know, how people, so I think that's a really important thing that I've learned over time.
Yeah. Okay. Great advice for all listening. And so where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year?
So we've actually spoken a lot about this. Traditionally, I would say 70% of our clients come from accounting firms across the country, partners and firms. About another 25% come from fractional CFOs who want support on the bookkeeping control level work. We are making a real concerted effort to niche in a couple of industries that we've had a lot of success with and that our team likes working with. And we're going to be focused our marketing sales efforts in a couple of those niches to really try and get a bigger portion of the market.
Great. That seems like a lofty goal. Okay. And last question, if somebody listening with you wanted to take the next step, what should they do?
Take a look at our website, cedarrockadvisory.com. You could always email me, evan@cedarrockadvisory.com. And that's pretty much it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.